Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to One Life Family Worship. It's so nice to see all of you. I just know God has big things for us this morning. So if you can, will you guys just begin to find your seats and stand with me so we can get in the posture of worship? Yeah, Jesus. You know, God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he can't do. And I just want us to go into today's worship just remembering that. Like, there's nothing too great or too horrible that you can do to separate yourself from him. He's bigger than any of those things. And so I just want you guys just to posture your heart. Will you guys put your hands out? I feel like God just wants to come and love on you in a big, bad way today. So just have your hands out, ready to receive, because I feel like he has a gift for every single one of you. Yeah. He wants to bless you. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, Papa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus, we just thank you for your sacrifice on that cross. I thank you, God, that you're such a big God. That there's nothing that you can't do. There's no sickness that's too great. There's no financial debt that's too big. There's no chasms too wide. Father, I just welcome you into this place today to do what you do best. And that's blessing and loving despite our shortcomings. Yes, God, that you would just meet with us this morning, pouring your favor over this place, Jesus, that people would begin to hear what it is that you think of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
if that's you,
oh, hi. I would love to have you guys do something a little different today. Take a risk. And I know it's uncomfortable to come up here to the front. And it's not really that it does anything more necessarily, except that it postures your heart differently. And it, because it's a lot more vulnerable, right? And it's hard to be vulnerable or transparent. But when we have needs or things that we want, or you want to spend time with somebody you want to get to know more, you got to get vulnerable, right? You got to get a little naked with one another. And so that's how I like to put it. It's kind of weird. But what I'd like to see is I just want you guys to take a risk. If you're willing and you want that more of the Lord today, even if it's just his peace, even if it's just to know him a little bit differently than you've known him since now, I would love to see you come and take a risk and just be up here in the altar. And I know it's uncomfortable, and that's okay, but I promise you that big things will come from that. Even if you don't know him very well at all, he would love to come and just meet you in a new way and do something different with you today than he's done before. But it takes risk. It takes sacrifice. Because he wants willing vessels, open hearts, and people who say yes. So Jesus, I just bless them right now, Father, that you would have your way. In Jesus' name.
See you.
want for you guys to do is, as we're singing, he's never going to let us down, right? So even his people, when they're wandering the desert for all that length of time, he never once let them down. They might have been discouraged here and there, but he always found a way to re-encourage them and give them that strength to just take that last, that other step, that next day, right? So what I want you guys to do is, it's a prophetic act, okay? This is part of that risk. I want you guys to take this risk with me. So first, I want you guys to dust your shoulders off, right? Because we have a lot of sand that's been built up over the last couple weeks, months, years, maybe. Things that have just kind of lingered on us. And God just wants to make your burdens light and yoke easy. So just start dusting off that sand right now, all over your body. We're just going to dust it off. It has no place on us anymore, right? And then what he's going to do is, one of the things he did for the Israelites is he gave them new shoes every time. And those shoes rooted them in peace like never before to be able to do whatever they needed to do to get to that next day. So I want you guys to take off your old shoes. Just pretend like you're taking off your old shoes. We're getting rid of those things. You're just going to chuck them. There it is. They have no place. And you're going to reestablish these new shoes. But these shoes are not just any shoes. These shoes are the shoes of peace. And they are going to get you where you need to go with all the grace in the world to do it, okay? So I want you just to put your feet in those shoes and just look at them and be like, thank you, Jesus, because I am going to make it through the next couple months, right? So I want you guys right now, when we're going to sing this again, you're never going to let me down. I want to know that you guys know that. I want to hear it with the authority in you. And if until the doubt gets shaken away, I don't want any room for that. I want you guys to sing it out with the depths of who you are, that he is never going to let you down, because he's good and he loves you and he is all about you. All right?
You're never going to let me down.
soul. That I've been forsaken, and I'll always be forgotten. No matter what I do, it's not enough. But then I heard a voice as it opened up the heavens, reminding me of who I've always been.
that Israel's name was written in the palm of the Lord's hand. You are Israel. Every single one of us that has put our trust in God, ask Him to come into our hearts. Ask Him to be the Lord of our lives. You are Israel. And sometimes we feel weak. Like that's really heavy. Like I don't know that I want to be responsible for that. But let me tell you something that we always say. If it's His will, it's His bill. Well, that is, implies not only to money, that that's implications of your life. If He wants you, and He does. If He's called you, and He has. If He's asked you, and He will. Then you are His. So I'm going to do something, and we're talking about risk, right? I'm going to start speaking out some things out loud. And if, now listen, you're going to have to really be really conscious of this. If that applies to you, stay here, don't move. If this applies to you, I just want you to raise your hand and hold your hand up, okay? But this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn my back to you. I'm not going to be looking. So if it's you, don't think anybody's looking at you because they're busy raising their own hand. Okay. So I'm going to turn my back. And if I say anything that applies to you, I want you to lift your hand. Discouraged. Trustless. Faithless. Powerless. Broken. Keep your hands up. Jesus. Jesus. Do you have a thorn in your flesh? Something that is keeping you from really looking to Him? To completely give your heart to Him? If you have that thorn in your flesh, raise your hand. Are you hopeless? Are you desperate for an answer? Are you desperate for something bigger than who you are? Are you willing to give everything you have to Him? I want everybody to look around at the hands that are raised. Anybody that didn't raise your hand, just begin to pray for those that did. But let me just say something. What you have is enough. Give it to God so that He can use it. If you don't give it to Him, then you're keeping yourself powerless by holding on to that. So let's just pray together, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we lift our hands to You, knowing, God, that You love us. You care, God. You took so much effort with Your love for us that You carved our name in Your hand. Every one of us, our name is in Your hand, Jesus. Carved lovingly. Lovingly. Father, I just pray that each one of us, God, would seek You first with all of our hearts. Help us to give all of those things to You that we raised our hands for, our discouragement, our lack of trust or faith or whatever it is, God. We just pray that You would just give us courage to give it all to You, Jesus, because we want to be bigger than something that we already are right now. We want to be bigger than that and better than that for You, Jesus. Father, we thank You, God, that even though we're corporate people, You love the individual. You love one. Bless each one, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen.
There's one word I was expecting to hear when Pastor Gay was saying that was shame. I was a little bit shameful this morning of something. Nothing bad. But guess what? That song lifted me. Because what did it say? His mercy has cleansed me from my shame. And you know what? I prayed and I asked for repentance of that little thing I did that wasn't bad, but it was enough to convict me. You know, and the Lord hears us. When we're His, He responds to that. And He responded this morning in worship and in this altar. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that.
Bless one another. Take just a couple minutes to say, hey. Lord, everybody.
Okay, this was just kind of crazy, and this is weird to do this. Like, I can stand up in front of a whole group of kids, but doing this is a little freaking me out a little bit. Anyway, it's kind of crazy. I just happened to look at my phone, and my brother-in-law sent me this, and it's a picture of a receipt. But this is what it says at the top. I'm going to start crying. I'm such a mush. Okay, anyway. It says, Jesus paid it all. And it just ties into everything today. And it says, sin paid. Shame paid. Pain paid. Past mistakes paid. Rejection and loneliness paid. Slavery to sin paid. Spiritual death paid. Amount due, zero. Change, zero. Subtotal zero, grand total zero. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, that was so cool. Like, I just happened to look at that. I'm like, wow, okay, thanks, God. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool, and Gaylene just wanted me to share that with you. So, amen.
I don't see Eric. Hang on a second. So we've been praying for the Yakima Valley, right, for a long time, and we've been confessing and having different people pray. Well, now we have a declaration over the Yakima Valley. We're still going to... Okay, Eric sent me something. I didn't see what it was, so... Oh, there he is. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
Okay. So yes, we're doing a declaration for Yakima. As you guys know, we live in one of the best cities in the world, and if you don't believe that, just keep saying it to yourself and eventually you'll believe it. But honestly, I believe God's doing something big in our city. So if you were here last week, you participated in this. If not, this is something brand new. What we're going to do is everybody's going to stand to their feet, if you will. And together, Pastor Michael. Okay. Together, we are going to say this, okay? So on the count of three, we're going to say it in cadence. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Can we give a shout to the Lord for our city? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys can be seated. Again, just to reiterate, there's a difference between saying something and declaring something, and that's why we're doing it, because we believe that prayer is good, and we'll continue praying and continue speaking stuff over our city, but there's something that has power when we declare it, okay? Because this is something that we're actually putting a, not necessarily a command or a demand from the Lord, but we're actually putting a demand on our land in our valley to say, this is the things you need to align with, okay? Do we have more announcements?
Yes. Right there.
Boom. So after service, if you don't know, you do now. Spaghetti Feed is happening, and whatever plans you have, I don't care who it's with. It could be, I'm just kidding. But we want everybody
cancel
here.
Cancel them?
Yeah, cancel them with your mom. I'm just kidding. We're doing a fundraiser, and some of you have already purchased tickets to come, and that's amazing. All of the money is going directly to our youth ministry for camps, for events, for, you know, anything that we need or we want to do with our youth kids. Amazing things are happening at our youth ministry. We're taking big risks. Like Nancy was saying, we're teaching our kids how to take risks, and great, cool things are happening. So please believe that we're not just down there playing dodgeball. We do that too. So after service, we're gonna shoot for being done here at 12:15 is the plan. Yep. And then if you have already purchased your ticket, that's totally fine. You can just head right in. Skyly will be down there awaiting you if you have not paid and or donated, and she will give you a ticket to enter. We have some raffles as well. So every ticket that you the plate that you purchase comes with a raffle ticket, and that'll go right to the raffle. And if you want to buy additional raffle tickets or donate for that, you could do that as well. We have some cool things down there to raffle, so please come. Is that the only one?
I've got one I'm going to
talk about. If they aren't able, that's fine. Come anyways. but if you can donate all your money.
$7 per person, and then a family of four or more, $5 per person.
That's right.
There we go. I'm sure you are all familiar with what's going on in Ukraine. It's like dominated our news media. And you probably don't know, but Grace International, who is the denomination that we're part of, we're kind of like a non-denominational denomination. It's not like...
I always say we're non-denominational, but our covering is Grace.
Yeah. That's true. But it is truly a denomination. But we actually have more churches in throughout the world than we do in the United States. And that's why Grace International is the name it fits. I mean, there's thousands of churches throughout the world, and there's hundreds in the United States. So, but one of our churches in Ukraine, and I know I'm going to butcher this name, how would you pronounce that? Milolev. Huh? Miolev? Miolev. Whatever. Yeah. In Ukraine, that's a city. Pastor Slavik. These names. Krachuk? Something like that. We'll see him in a minute. Is overseeing all those churches, and I have another picture here. This is one of the churches. This is him with congregational members. They're still doing church there. They're still believing God, but they're also, and this is why I'm bringing this up, they're also feeding people. And they're feeding people with money that is being sent from individuals from the United States. And so if you would like to give to this particular need, and what happens is 100% goes to Pastor Slavik to use for ministering and being there for all these people that, you know, some are displaced. They don't have homes anymore. Some don't have ways of, you know, having food. And so not everybody wants to leave Ukraine. There are a lot of people leaving, but these are our brothers, sisters in Christ. And so if you can give, you can go to graceinternational.tv, I believe. And if you go to the give button, you can put that your money goes to Ukraine, and then it will go 100% to Ukraine. But I want to make sure that everybody knows that they have that opportunity. If you would like us to give as a church, and you want to give it to the church, and you're going to give it through, you know, either up here or in the back, just mark Ukraine and we'll make sure that it gets to them. And if you want to give online, and there's no way of saying online what it's for, but if you call me or text one of us and just say, hey, I gave some money, make sure that's applied to Ukraine. And with that said, I want to thank everybody for giving. Thank you for all of your faithfulness. The Lord has taken care of us, even though we at times have been lean. He has been there for us. And if you want to give, you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com or in the front or in the back. So today, I want to share about cruise control Christianity, and what this is. You'll hear. I don't want you to start like filling in the blanks. What does that mean, Pastor? But I do have like a confession to make. I am now, if you're driving on the freeway on sometimes Sunday afternoon or Monday afternoon, and you like to go, you know, the 4 or 5 miles over the speed limit, I am one that's sitting usually now, if I don't have anywhere to go, at around 64 miles per hour. Yes, set cruise control, and I just like to just sit there, and I just enjoy the trip. I watch people fly by me. And it's just relaxing. You know, I don't have to put the pedal to the metal. But if I need to, if I have to get somewhere, I still do that. But I would prefer cruise control. How many like cruise control? The older ones. Oh, I like cruise control. You like cruise control?
I do, but faster than that.
Yeah, faster than that, right? The 4
as long
or 5
as you're lane. In the right lane, that's fine.
I'm in the right lane most of the time. The and when I pass trucks, I speed up to about 72. Okay. So I'm not one of these 64 that pull out into the fast lane. So just know that about me. But I'm just telling you that I enjoy cruise control. But how many know that cruise control Christianity is not a good idea? That if you just set your life on just autopilot and you hope that everything's going to work out and you hope that you're going to grow and you're going to become stronger Christian, you're going to come closer to the Lord, it doesn't happen. There's a law in physics and science, and it's called the law of atrophy. And basically what happens is that things break down and get worse with age. I'm proof. I'll be 62 in 2 days. I'm a living proof. I only did like 6 hours working out in the yard yesterday, and I was like, oh, I'm so sore. You know, when you worked all day, and you're like probably didn't even bother you,
yeah,
right? Or did you have all the young ones do the work?
I did a lot more work than the young
did
ones
a lot
did
of work.
Yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the point being is that there is atrophy, and it works that way in our Christian life. If we don't do things to keep up our Christian life, to stir ourselves, so to speak, then we fall back. Even though we may not be backsliding, we're not progressing in God. We're not allowing what God wants to do in us be fulfilled. So let's look at a scripture here. This is from the book of Isaiah. Do you want to read it?
I can read it, yeah.
All right.
Isaiah 64, verse 7, it says, "And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter, and all we are the work of your hand."
So if you're familiar with any of the later prophets, the book of Isaiah, he was, you know, prophesying a lot of time about the Israel, that Jerusalem, Judah was not really doing what they needed to do. And so he's communicating as a voice of the Lord, as an oracle of God. And he's saying, and there's no one who calls on your name. Now, I would say Isaiah probably does. But he's saying that there's nobody doing this. There's nobody who stirs himself. Now, when I was reading through this week, Isaiah, when I read that there's no one who stirs himself to take hold of you, it stirred in me. It's like, oh, there it is right there. There's an admonition in a negative form, you know, because that's not saying, oh, you guys are stirring yourself to take hold of me. This is saying there's no one that's doing this. And I would say that this is one of the shortcomings of the body of Christ. We have a tendency of just liking status quo. We like to be comfortable. I mean, you know, how many like to have their thermostat in their house set to a certain temperature, right? And someone comes in and they mess with your thermostat, and you come in a couple hours later, and you're like, what just happened? This is not what I want. This is not the environment. But how many know that Christianity is not supposed to be comfortable? Amen. It's not supposed to be cruise control. It's not supposed to be something that's easy, even though Jesus' yoke is easy and it's light. It still takes work. You know, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith as we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a process that we have to go through. I love the fact that Jesus loves us even if we don't do anything. I love the fact that he's not loving me any more, any less, or giving me any more righteousness, or making me any more approved by him, by what I do. But how many know that we're not fulfilling that relationship if we're not pressing forward? You have something?
Amen. Yeah, I you triggered a kind of a thought. And for me, I am, what's the saying, a jack of all trades, master of none. You know, you guys watch me lead worship on Sunday. I know 5 chords, okay? 5. And it's not because I can't learn more. It's because I don't care about learning more. I learned it. I know how to do it. I can play every song in this key. Great. Let's move on. Okay? And that's not with everything in my life, but there are certain things in my life where I will learn just enough and just so I can get by. Teach me how to do this thing. Can I kind of not fake it till you make it, but in some ways, you know, if somebody threw another chord at me and they're like, hey, play the B something, I'm like, nope, don't know that one. And I think that one of the things I've tried to make sure subconsciously I don't do is to not do that with the Lord. Because it's really easy to put on the facade of Christian.
Right.
We all know, if we were, like, we've all been in church long enough to be able to say, what does a Christian look like? Oh, a Christian, someone who goes to church on Sunday. You know, Christian maybe has positive life and K-Love programmed into their dials. You know, they might have one or two Bibles somewhere in their home. They, you know, go to retreats. They go to their small group, right? Like, we know the things that we have to do just to get by. But that will manifest eventually where your heart truly is. Like, eventually your heart truly will show where your heart is for the Lord. And using this analogy in Isaiah, where he says, you are the father, we are the clay and you are a potter. If you know anything about clay making, like, it's not enough just to form the clay. That has to be put into a very hot place, an uncomfortable place to actually be formed, right? If he formed the pot and be like, all right, it's done. You can't do anything with that thing. As soon as I touch it, it's going to fall apart. It's going to crumble, right? So there has to be taken through a process of discomfort. And I love that you brought that up because, you know, if you've been told somewhere along the way in your Christian faith that God calls you to a life of comfort and a life where everything goes good and a life where you never face any trials, you were lied to.
You lied to.
Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Now, this isn't doom and gloom. This is just reality. We've all faced stuff where it's like, wow, that was a bummer. That was a big bummer. And I love Jesus, and I go to church, and I do all the things. But life still comes at you because there's still a very real enemy out there that it wants to see you crumble. And
we live in a fallen world.
And we live in a fallen world. And so just, I say all that to say, you know, I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm just getting by, where I'm just skating by, just so people can think, oh, Eric's a Christian because I see him doing these things, right? Just as much as people might look at me and say, oh, Eric plays guitar. I would never actually classify myself as a guitarist ever, because I just don't know enough, right?
You know more than some.
Yeah, sure.
He knows enough to get by. Let's look at the Amplified. There is no one who calls on your name, who awakens and causes himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have handed us over to the consuming and destructive power of our wickedness, our sin, and our injustice, our wrongdoing. Now, this sounds like really negative at the end, but the reason Israel's in this state is because they were not awakening themselves. They were not stirring themselves. They were not making sure that they were staying in the process that God had given them to be successful and to grow in Him and to continue to remain in a place where He can bless them. You know, it's not that God has to curse you. All you have to do is start doing things opposite of Him, and you'll realize that what you're sowing, you're going to reap. You know, Paul said, you have great liberty. You can do whatever you want, but know that that's going to have consequences. And so we can have good consequences in our life, or we can have bad consequences. I always thought consequences just meant bad, but there can be good consequences. If we live our life the way that God's called us to, or the way that the Holy Spirit's challenging us to, we'll have good consequences. So I want to look at Romans 13:11. And the reason being is because we talked about awakening there. And I'm using it in the Amplified here. You can read it if you want, bro.
Yeah, it says, do this, knowing that this is a critical time. It is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. I have to turn around. Of spiritual complacency. For our salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed in Christ. And then you want to read
and
that?
Well, let me go ahead and say this. So one of the things that I wanted to point out here is how many know that we are in a critical time? Now, Paul wrote this, you know, almost 1,900 years ago, you know, something almost 2,000 years ago, and it was a critical time then. It's more of a critical time because we're closer to when we first believed, or the church even first believed in Christ. Things are changing. How many know the world's changing? Yeah. I mean, it's like every day, you know, I think most people thought, or a lot of people thought, oh, once we're through COVID, then everything's going to get good. But, well, you know, I'm sure you probably heard, but we're probably not going back to what we used to be. There's been a shift globally in the whole world. There's a desire for I believe the enemy of our soul to take control of people's hearts and minds as much as he can. And if he can control where they're getting their food and can control where they're getting their information, then he's controlling them. And so on the opposite side, we can awaken our hearts. We can awaken from a sleep or a slumber, a spiritual sleep. Like it said, a spiritual complacency, a spiritual cruise control. A spiritual cruise control. Well, you can go through all of life on cruise control. You can. And you can trust in Jesus, and you can give him your heart, and you give him your life. And, you know, or at least give him everything you need to be saved. And you get the end of life, and you can go to heaven. But folks, there's something missing there. There's something missing. And it says actually in the word that you'll be saved yet through fire. Now, I don't know what the fire is. I don't know what that means, but it really is an encouragement for us to not be on cruise control. It's an encouragement for us to press into the things of God.
Yeah.
And how many know that the Holy Spirit is in you so you can do that? Mm-hmm. You don't have to muster this up in yourself. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is yield and surrender to His will in your life, and He will allow you to press into Him. He'll give you the strength to do it. Amen?
I wonder if there's a time, Pastor, I want you to take a second to think about this, and I do have something else to say. There's a time that you can remember where you've had to adjust your speed, if you will, in the Lord. Because if you think about cruise control, using this analogy again, you know, we may be going down Washington, right, in whatever, 35 miles per hour, 40, whatever it is. And let's say we just set our cruise control then, right, for whatever reason, we put in cruise control. And then we go down first, or the Yakima Valley, Valley Mall Boulevard. And then we go, you know, we take a left on whatever the road is to go towards the freeway. And then we're still going, right? We still have it on cruise control for the 35 or 40 miles an hour. And then we get on the on-ramp, and we keep it there at 35, 40 miles per hour.
I hate it when people do that.
Oh. Don't get me started on Yakima drivers, okay? Not none of you guys, but other Yakima drivers. And so we get on the on-ramp, and we're still going 35, 40 miles per hour. It's not going to work. We get on the freeway, and also... Not only is it not going to work, it's actually dangerous.
It's not safe.
For you and for the people around you, right? And so, realizing that the faith that you had for last year may not be the faith that will sustain you for this year. And I think the Christian world learned that going from 2019 to 2020 what I used to like put all my faith in and how I used to believe now is being tested and tried because now I, you know, can't leave my house or I can't, you know, go to the store without a mask or I can't gather at a church, right? And so we can't get into this place or be careful of getting into a place of getting in cruise control and just thinking, okay, let me just set it here and this will ride me through for the next 5 years or for the rest of my life. No, because there's going to be times, there's going to be different terrain, there's going to be different speed limits. You know, you can't always just go the same speed.
That's good.
Yeah, because I mean, you're asking me, is there a time in my Christian life? Yeah, there's been many times, you know, where, you know, I'm either, you know, it's usually has to do kind of maybe around ministry or the vision God's giving me. And I have to change the way that I'm doing things and applying myself to be able to fulfill what I'm feeling in my heart. You know, pretty much this beginning of the year when we were starting to, you know, have God stir us during the 21-day fast. And then, you know, I said, hey, we need to have an all-night prayer. And it was like I felt we needed to do it, but it wasn't until I was there that I realized that the Lord was changing my cruise control or my speed limit or whatever it was, that I was being called to go faster or stronger, however you want to put it. Look at the complete Jewish Bible. It says, beside all this, you know at what point of history we stand. In other words, it's, besides everything Paul has said up to that point, he says, you know what time we're at. So it is high time for you to rouse yourself from sleep, for the final deliverance is nearer than we first came to trust. And what is this saying? This is saying that there is a necessity for us to rouse ourselves. You know, how many have been at a meeting and you hear a message and you go away and it's like, wow, I'm inspired and I'm changing. And, you know, and you maybe, you know, apply some things differently. But I almost would guarantee that would probably fade after a while. After you heard something from somebody else, you may have caught it for a while, but it's really something when we rouse ourselves. We say, oh, you know what? I mean, anybody who knows any kind of addict, they have to come to the place where they rouse themselves. They go, wow, this is destroying my family. This is destroying my life. This is going to cause heartache and hardship. And I have to change. Not they want me to change. No, I have to change. They rouse themselves. And that's what this is talking about. We have to realize that there's a necessity for us to have a spiritual intensity, not a complacency. You know, put the pedal to the metal or however you want to phrase it. But there's a necessity for us to, in ourselves. And the only way that can happen is if God's working in us. And how does he work in us? We let him work in us. We give him permission. You're constantly saying, Lord, if I'm off base, if I'm not doing the, show me, teach me, stir me, you know, because, you know, it's, you can go through the motions and try to do it all on your own strength, but you'll give up there. Eventually your strength will end. But when you're yielding to God and the Holy Spirit, he will empower you to go through, like it says, run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. All right, let's look at Timothy 6:12. You can read it if you want.
Timothy 6:12, ESV. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
So Paul is encouraging Timothy in this letter to him of how to be a leader that is going to be one that Paul can have confidence in for the future when he passes. that he knows that people's lives will be in good hands. So he's communicating to Timothy, you know, things about being a good, you know, spiritual leader, a good, you know, a good, like a pastor, how to handle, you know, issues in the church. He's giving him all kind of information. But here he's telling Timothy, you need to be ready to fight the good fight of faith. You need to be ready to take hold or lay hold of eternal life. You know, for me, I know that God lives in me, and so eternal life lives in me. But it's only going to be as eternal life or abundant life as I lay hold of it. Yeah. And lay hold of it means that I'm pursuing God in a way that I'm not letting the world captivate me. I'm not letting all of the shiny stuff. How many know there's a lot of shiny stuff? All you have to do is turn on your phone and there's all kind of, hey, wow, look at this. And you could be gone for hours and wasting time. Sometimes it's redeemable, but most of the time it's not, right?
Absolutely.
Most of the time, yeah. Cat videos, I mean, they're great, you know, but I don't know how much they're going to build your spiritual life, right? But so pursuing God is an aggressive thing.
It's intentional is what it is.
The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Absolutely. Yep. It cannot be a passive relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? I think we've all probably experienced some form of we have a passive relationship, and that's not always bad. It's just, you know, maybe it's somebody we work with or we go to school with or whatever. And it's not a relationship that there's no real depth to it. Right. Like
right.
If they move, you're not going to cry over it because, you know, it's like, I just knew them for a little bit. Right. But an intimate, you know, your spouse or a very close friend or your best friend or something like that hurts. Right. That because you spent intentional time pouring into this relationship and they poured into you. And so if that thing breaks or if that thing, you know, gets, you know, in disunity, then it hurts. And so it can't ever be a passive relationship. And I think at some point or another in our faith, we do experience this thing, this cruise control thing. And it's easy, especially when we have an amazing Sunday or we go to a retreat or we go to a conference or we go
encounter,
you know, an encounter, a prayer moment. And we're like, wow, that was amazing. Right. The danger, the temptation is that I had that amazing moment and I'm going to ride on that for a long time. Right. And I think I remember days of encounter or, you know, years ago, and I would experience that and I would come out, we'd go to the mountain, come back. I'd become like a new man. I was free. I cast all my sins at the altar and
foot of the cross.
And I put my, you know, little red painted cross nail to the cross and came back and I'm like, I'm a new man. I'm a new creation. Right. And then I'm like, I'm good, you know,
okay.
as long as I just keep doing the stuff, I'm good. Right. Like, but that passive relationship with Jesus is what causes people to ultimately fall trap to any and all traps that the enemy tries to lay for us, is because if we're not pursuing God with a tenacity, right, pursuing God, we're not taking hold, right, of eternal life, then there's somebody else that is pursuing us, not a passive way. Unfortunately.
That's right. The enemy is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can what? Devour,
exactly. Steal,
kill, and destroy.
It's his
and
MO.
So, yep. So how, Pastor, do we take hold? You're saying lay hold. You're saying rouse yourself. How do you do it? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions. Here's one from the Old Testament. I love this. This is one of the first verses I ever memorized. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That means you're going to be speaking the word, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So you want to make sure that the book of the law, well, what's that mean? That means back then it was five books. It was the Pentateuch, and it was the Torah, you know, and it's what they lived by. Well, we don't have that anymore. We have the whole Bible. But better yet, you know what we have? We have the living word. We have Jesus. And so you could say it this way. Jesus shall not depart from your mouth, but you'll meditate in him day and night. You'll observe to do according to all that he has said. And then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. In other words, when you're doing these things, You're not in cruise control. You're rousing yourself. You're keeping yourself. Notice it's not, I'm going to read my Bible for 20 minutes and it's a thing you do. No, you're reading it, but then you're meditating on it. You're reading it, but then you're chewing it, you know, like a cow chews the cud. And I'm not going to get into all the anatomy of that, but basically it's a process. It doesn't just, they just go to their one stomach. It goes to multiple stomachs because it's a process of receiving that word, you know. Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why he's being encouraged, Joshua is being encouraged, as Moses has now died, and Joshua is now responsible for taking a million people so into the promised land. And there's bad dudes there. And there's people that complain a lot with this group. And they make mistakes. And so he needed to make sure that he was staying his best. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm not responsible for a million people. Yeah, but you're responsible for a sphere of influence that you have at work or in your family or friends. There's individuals in your life that need what you have. And you need to make sure that you're as prime and fit and strong as you can be. And this is one of the ways you can do it, by meditating on the word. How many have scripture verses memorized? Anybody in here? A few of you. I encourage everyone to find a verse that you love, not just something, you know, that you know somebody tells you you have to memorize. Find something that speaks to your heart, that you already kind of have in you a little bit, but memorize it and chew on that. When you wake up in the morning, you know, don't just sit there and quote it and see if you could quote it back. I've done that before, but lay in your bed and start thinking about that. And I was sharing this with some individuals, but one thing you could do is take each word and ask the Lord what each word in that verse means to you and how you want it, how he wants it applied to your life. Right? Here's a New Testament one. I know we've got spaghetti knocking at the door, so hang on. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. You read this. Now, this is the New Testament version of that.
Yeah. So it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
So really, not being on cruise control is seeking things that are from above. And what is that? Well, to each one, it's going to be a little bit differently. Some, it could be just, I just enjoy getting off in the backyard, sitting in a quiet chair, and just thinking about the Lord, meditating, or putting on some music, or if you play an instrument, playing an instrument. That can be the way that you seek things from above. It could be for some that getting into the word and just studying and going from verses and going from different Greek words and Hebrew words, and that awakens your heart to God. Some would say, bleh, that sounds boring, you know. Well, for some, it's life. Yeah. And the thing is what rouses me in my way of seeking God isn't necessarily going to be yours. Each of us have to find what stimulates our faith. You know, I was thinking about this, the stirring process. You know, when something is I think it's emulsified is the word I want. That's where the two items are combined, like oil and vinegar. When they're emulsified, they combine into one. But you know what it takes? It takes a vigorous stirring. It takes like an agitation from a blender or something. And so if you let it sit a while, you know what happens? It gets gross. Yeah. Well, they separate. They separate just from the fact that there has not been any more agitation or stirring. And so we need to make sure that we're remaining one in God, because we are one in God, but it requires us to continually to stir ourselves, to seek those things that are above, to look at the things that aren't seen, not the things that are seen. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that aren't seen, Christ seeking him from above, you can't see it. You can't always handle it. You know, The disciples were blessed. They could handle Jesus. They heard Jesus. They smelled Jesus. You know, they smelled. Yeah, they did. He walked through the dirty roads all day long, and he had his sweat, I'm sure. And they probably knew, just like, you know, oh boy, I know somebody just came in the room, you know, because you know their scent. But it's a cologne I'm talking about.
Did you just say Jesus has B.O.?
No.
What we're saying?
Okay. Hey, you know what? He was in the form of man, yet he was God, right?
Yeah, he never stunk.
He never stunk. No, okay, I think that'll have to be debated by the theologians, not us. But the point being is that there has to be a desire in us to want to have more of God. There has to be that desire in us to have that stirring and that agitation. And we have to stir ourselves and stir each other. You know, what's it say? To encourage one another even more so as you see the day approaching. To remind somebody, hey, I saw you last week, you were on fire. I can tell today that, you know, something's up. What's going on? How's your heart? You know God's working, and you know he's got a great plan for your life. That's encouraging each other, challenging each other, not just pointing out each other's pimples and faults.
Yeah.
That's really easy to do.
Yeah.
So does anyone, Herman, do you have something? Oh, okay. Usually you do. I saw you amening a little bit. Does anyone have anything else to share this morning? No one? Oh, Dee Dee. Okay, well, isn't that something? That's why everybody says no, Dee Dee.
I know, but I just have to.
And stand right here so that the camera can catch you.
Hi. Just as I'm listening to all of this and just being intentional about your walk with the Lord, why do I get so
Because you love the Lord. So good to you.
So since my husband passed a few months ago, I was talking to Gaylene and Mike the other night, and I told them, I said, you know, it's interesting. Mike always made me feel protected and safe from, you know, I just always did. And because he was so fierce and so, you know, protective. And now that he's not here, I'm like, oh my gosh, who do I have to protect me? And so while I'm talking to them, I realize now I have to depend on the Lord, because I should have been doing that all along anyway. I feel blessed that I had Mike, but really he wasn't the one protecting me. And so Pastor Mike was telling me, now that Mike's not here, God is actually becoming your husband. I'm like, wow, okay then. Like, that was kind of profound to me. And the truth is, we have to depend on God, because he is the one. It's not a person. They can't do that. And so I'm just learning really quickly that I do have to depend on God, because he is my husband. Even if you're a widow or not, he still is your husband. He's still your spouse. And that's who we have to depend on, not things and not a person. And that's why it has to be so intentional. And I'm learning that in a really big way, in a really fast way, because now I don't kind of have a choice. You know what I mean? Like, Mike and Gaylene are my best friends. I love them, and I know I could call them at any moment, but they're not who's protecting me at all.
That's right.
So anyway.
Amen. That's so good, Dee Dee. Praise the Lord. You have anything else?
Yeah, one last thing. This was on my heart last night, actually. So yesterday, like Pastor Mike was saying, I was working with my son's Boy Scout group, and we went literally all day aerating and thatching people's yards, including our churches. We did our churches, and it was a fundraiser, and I got roped into it because I love my son so much. But not a big fan of yard work. Yard work, you know. And so, anyways, I realized, went through the whole day, long day, literally started at 8 something and ended at 6. So it was like a full day of work. And I'm laying down for bed. I'm super tired, and I get in this comfortable spot, and this thought went through my head, like, what is aerating? Like, I saw it happen, but I don't actually know what's happening. And I'm like laying there, and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, God, I don't want to have this conversation right now. I don't know what aerating is. I don't really care. Like, but I'm prompted, I'm stirred, and I'm in that spot where it's just like you move and then you can't get the spot back again, right? So I get up, I pull out my phone, and I'm looking up what aerating is. And essentially, all aerating is making space.
Yeah.
all it's doing is poking those holes in the grass so more oxygen, more water, more nutrients can get to your grass so you could have healthier grass. And I was like, okay, so how does that apply to us? Well, it's all about making space for the Lord,
yeah.
Right? Because the reason why you need to aerate your grass is because it gets compact. And then you can't water your grass, or you can, but it doesn't get all the nutrients, right? And so talking, you know, knowing we were going to talk about this today, I was like, wow, how many people in here or how many times in our lives does our faith get so compact? It's still there. It's still green. We can still walk on it. We can still do life with it, right? But it's actually not growing. It's actually not a healthy lawn. My heart and my hope is that we would actually realize that there are times where we need to aerate. And aerating is a violent, loud process.
Yeah, it is.
Super loud. All day. I heard that noise in my head all day yesterday. And even when I lay down, I kept hearing it. So it's a violent process. And so sometimes getting uncomfortable is exactly where the Lord wants us so he can make that room. And so we can, but we have to be willing to. You have to be willing to say, Lord, I want to make room for you. I don't want to be the same lawn I was last year. I want to be greener than I was last year. I want to be healthier. I want to be more lush than I was last year.
That's so good.
So let the Lord aerate you and thatch you. Sounds like a painful process, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. I bless, Lord, everyone that's been here today, everybody that's been listening online, Father. I pray that, Lord, the word that has been sent and gone forth, Lord, not just our words, Lord, but what you have applied through the Holy Spirit to their hearts, Lord, would grow and would nurture, Lord, and produce fruit, Lord. And we ask right now, Father, that if there's anyone that's really struggling, Lord, with stirring themselves and rousing themselves, Lord, that in the coming days, Holy Spirit, you would lead and guide them into that truth, Lord, so they could be set free, Lord, from whatever is holding them back from your very best. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. We love you guys. I'll give a couple directions. And so, again, Spaghetti Feet's happening downstairs. We have some amazing youths that are waiting to serve you. And so if you've paid already, that's totally fine. Just go find your seat. If you still need to donate, Skyly will be down there waiting, and we can take cash, we can take card, we can take check, we can take Bitcoin. No, we can't do that yet. But anyhow, yeah, so if you just go down these stairs, we're going to meet in our fellowship hall / our youth room, and we'll see you guys down there. So awesome. Love you guys.